Amen. Sickness has no place, amen. He does deserve the glory, the full glory. I love that song, an incredible song. So today I'm just going to share with the word with you that God has placed on my heart, and God's good, isn't he? He's good all the time. Yeah. Your purpose and your destiny in God. A man who wants to live a life full of purpose for the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. I know I do. We all do, don't we? Amen. I'm sure you've heard of the book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. Amen, yeah?
Yeah.
And it says, the purpose-driven life, what on earth am I here for? Rick Warren, his quote says, you discover your identity and purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just number one, isn't it? When you come to the Lord with your baggage, with your sin, with your junk, you put it at the feet of the cross, you recognize that he died on the cross for you, you submit to his authority and his rule, he becomes king of your life. And over time, as you walk with God, you discover your purpose and your identity. For my journey personally, that took a bit of time to really discover my identity in God. And it's still a journey to discover my full identity in God and my full purpose as well. But I think as you walk with God intimately, you seek his word, you praise, you worship, you plant yourself in church. How important it is to plant and be rooted in a local church. Amen.
Amen.
That's where you grow. That's where iron sharpens iron. That's where the most difficult of conversations often happen. And you know what? It's for your own good as well. So life is full of purpose with God. But unfortunately, as we journey through life, things happen, don't they? We get hurt, trauma happens. And sometimes when we come to Jesus, we come with our stuff. We come with our baggage. We come with our heavy rucksack. And sometimes when we give our life to Jesus, that's just the beginning, isn't it? That's just step one of journeying the life with Jesus through. But the Bible clearly says, in Proverbs 4, verse 23 up on the screen, life begins solely from your heart, and everything else flows out of it. It says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. Why your heart? Guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. So your heart is so, so sacred. And in your heart, it's like you've got a throne. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart today? That's my question this morning to myself and to all of us here. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart today? Is King Jesus sitting at the throne of your heart today? Is he taking that centre place in your heart today? It says in this place, we call your heart, out of your heart comes how you feel, your feelings, your little thoughts, your emotions, your intellect, your conscience, your will and your character. Out of this place, the heart, everything else is affected, because it determines the course of your life. But life, unfortunately, will challenge this connection you have with God, you and your heart with God. When you go through difficult things in life, sickness, job loss, a broken marriage, challenges like having children at times, all these things challenge us, challenge our connection with God. So sometimes, without knowing it, and it happens, I think, just talking from my own life, it happens so subtly. Things come into the throne room of your heart so subtly, and we end up putting other things on the throne of our heart. Like, for instance, maybe a child you've been longing for so many years, and the child comes into the world, and that becomes seated on the throne of your heart. And when these things happen, the Bible calls these things idols. Have we got idols on the throne room of our heart today? When you read the Old Testament, you see Israel walking with God, and then when they're walking in God, it's going great, it's going fantastic. They're winning every war going. But when they turn their face away from the Lord, then it's defeat, isn't it? They are defeated. And usually when that happens, they put up idols. You know, you hear of all the idols, Baal and all the other idols, the golden calf. And you can see how the hand of God is kind of removed from them. The hand of protection of the Lord is slowly removed from them as they turn away from God, where God is no longer number one, the King of all kings, sitting on the throne of their heart. And it happens with us, really. It doesn't it? I'm just going to list you a sum of things that could be sitting on the throne room of our heart today. Money. Being successful. That could be a number one thing in your life. A nice car. Nice house. Nice clothes. Designer clothes. Nice handbags. Money. Lust. That can be a big thing. Pornography. Women. Men. That can slowly but surely take the place of God in your heart. Idols, and they become idols. Even family sometimes can become an idol. Whatever you put on the throne of room of your heart is the very thing that you worship. So if God's centre place in your heart, then you worship him fully. But if other things are in the place of God, then you worship that very thing that is meant to be, take the place of God. Sometimes our gifting and our talent can become an idol. Even having a great big church, loads of members in the church, that can become an idol. So often I've heard testimonies and testimonies of great men and women of God where the work of the kingdom becomes an idol. And they no longer know the king intimately. And so often in church we can be busy. We can be really busy doing the work of the kingdom. And that in itself can become an idol. Our hurt, our baggage, our broken marriage, our broken relationships can become an idol in our lives. Our attempts to try and heal ourselves all the time, that can become an idol. Worry and fear so often can become an idol as well. It's so easy in this day and age for worry and fear to be the main focus of our lives, isn't it? With all the things that we've gone through during the past year with COVID. Social media, slowly but surely, that can become an idol. You're flicking through your phone all the time, looking at Instagram, how many likes you've got, how many shares, Facebook, Twitter, all these things can become a distraction in the place of God. A life partner, that can become an idol. You long to get remarried. You long to find yourself another partner, life partner. That can become the main focus of your life if you don't watch it. But when we put God on the throne, says in the Bible, all these things in time will be added into you. Amen? What's on the throne is what you worship. The definition of worship. Worship is our love expressed to God when we worship. And we've just worshipped this morning. Isn't it great to worship the Lord? Do you know, it's great coming to church because if you had a rough week, you're back in the house of God, you're doing a bit of worship, and it just aligns you, it knocks you back into place, doesn't it? It gets your focus again, doesn't it? On the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. It's a great way to start the week with worship. So the definition of worship is a love expressed to God as a response to His grace. His grace on that cross towards us. It cannot be worship if it's not expressed to God. It's interesting, isn't it? You can worship other things in your life. God is a jealous God. It says that in the Old Testament. And He desires our full worship. So guess what? If you feel convicted by the Holy Spirit while I'm sharing, and you feel actually that might have been a kind of idol that's kind of crept into my heart, or maybe I am kind of focusing on that thing too much, and maybe I have got maybe an idol, then today is eviction day for that idol. That idol needs to be kicked off that throne. Because it's God's place on that throne. Because when God sits on the throne of your heart, everything else falls into place. And it's so, so easy for things to creep in, isn't it? So, so easy. So today is eviction day. Eviction. Eviction is, hopefully none of you have been evicted out of a house yet. I don't want any hands up, right? Eviction, it says, is a notice that lets someone know that they must go. You must go. You must get out of this house. You must go. Have you today got tenants sitting on the throne of your heart that actually rob you? Because they do rob you. They rob you from the purpose and the full destiny that God has for your life. Do you know what? It's not an option for you to get rid of those idols out of your life. It's actually a necessity. Idols can lead to, I'm going to list four things when you have these things in your heart. What it does to us spiritually. Number one, it actually leads to spiritual deception. When you're putting your eyes on something else, you can't properly see or discern things. For instance, you can't also hear the voice of God properly when you're focusing on those other things. And when you start to idolize something else, you can actually make really, really big mistakes in your life. You are actually skating on really thin ice. You can't see clearly spiritually. Many people are marrying people out of deception because relationship has been on the throne of their heart. That's sad, isn't it? But it's true in the church, it happens. You're moving to another job which seems better. Grass is greener on the other side because you've got an ideal on the throne of your heart of comparison. I'll try that job over there because I want a promotion. Has God told you to move and try that job over there? But no comparison has been put on the throne of your heart. These are just some examples. Make making bad relationship choices because feeling wanted and accepted, that could be friendships, is on the throne room of your heart. But when God sits on the throne of your heart, we can see things as they really are. Does that make sense? We have good vision. But when we're not putting God first place, it's like we're putting on, do you know those really old-fashioned thick glasses you can put on and you can't see anything? Your vision is like blurred. You're like, where's the pen? Where's the pen? It's like that. You've got blurred vision. You can't see clearly and you're making bad choices. Spiritual deception, that's point number one. Point number two is spiritual adultery. You are committing spiritual adultery. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 5. It says, when any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing in Israel separate themselves from me, marry to God, then go out and go here, there, and then come back to him. That's what happens. You're committing adultery. God wants to be on the throne of your heart because he's jealous for you. He longs for you. He's given his son for you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants your life to be good, to be prosperous, to you, for you to walk in the full calling that God has given you and placed upon your life. It's for your own good that he wants to be seated on the throne room of your heart. And when something else sits there, then it is a bit like adultery, isn't it? God is saying, hey, I made dinner for you every night, you know. And I waited for you, and I waited for you, and I waited for you. Where have you been? You're fissing and fasting over there. Where have you been? You've never come to meet me. This dinner's getting cold. You've never come and sat down. You've never came to meet me. This is what happens to us all, isn't it? We all can be guilty of this. God is not mad with us. God took all of our sins on the cross. And he just, you know what? He just longs for you and for me. So spiritual deception, you can't make good choices because your vision is blurred. Spiritual adultery. And when I think you're walking in spiritual adultery, you don't feel the intimacy of God like you would, hey? I think we've all kind of experienced that. You're not experiencing that closeness with a father like you should. Point number three would be, hey, do you know what? You're spiritually deaf. Spiritual deafness. God is sovereign and he does speak above and beyond that sometimes. As we mature in God, we learn to hear God. He's a good father. My sheep hear his voice. When we put God on the throne of our hearts, then we can hear his voice. But when we don't, we can't hear properly. His voice is kind of muffled because we get distracted. I think the word distracted is important. We get distracted by the things that creep into our hearts. Point four would be spiritual consequences. The spiritual consequences would be you're kept from the real relationship that you truly need in life, and that is your relationship with your Heavenly Father. How can we run this race with God that he set before us when we can't see properly? Well, you can't see properly. You're getting a bit deaf. And you can't really discern your life. You can't run this race fully with all these things. Also as well, behind every idol, there is a demonic spirit as well that tries to entice you away from the Father. He's trying to pull you away from God. There is a war going on for our lives as Christians. And it's real. The war is real. Externally, there's a war going on, and internally as well, there's a war going on. So, for instance, money. If you're driven by money, the spirit of mammon, that demonic spirit, is attached to money. Worry, when you're worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying, the spirit of fear can come into your life. Fashion, looking good. If that is centerpiece in your life, the spirit of comparison, that spirit of comparison that can come into your life. So these are all the consequences when we allow things to slowly but surely creep into our lives. If we've got idols, things that distract us, distraction, usually, I would say 90% of the time, distraction would lead you to sin. Because when the people of Israel in the Old Testament, when they had idols, they naturally sinned against God. It comes hand in hand. However, good news, today we will be putting God back on the throne, evicting every idol that has slowly but surely creeped into our lives and putting God back on the throne of our heart. It says in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6. Actually, I'll read a bit of Ezekiel out, actually. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1. Have you got it on the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of Jehovah, the word of the Lord, came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them all? Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, every man of the house of Israel that taketh his idol into his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Jehovah, will answer him therein according to the multitude of idols. If we jump on to verse 6. Okay. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Return ye, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Thank you, Alex. In other words, when you turn away from something, what do we do? It's quite easy. God makes it easy for us. It's not rocket science. It says repent. Just repent. Ask him forgiveness. He's your heavenly Father that's looking for you. In Psalm 86, verse 5, it says, You, Lord, are forgiving, and you're so, so good, abounding in love to all who call to you. He's good. He's a good, good God. We sing this all the time, don't we? You're a good, good God. You're a good heavenly Father. He is so ready to forgive you. It says also in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Free of the past and free of the pain, evicting everything that stops you from walking fully with God. When Jesus comes to sit back on the throne of your heart, the true king gets to come back and sit where he belongs, on his seat. That's his seat, because he loves you. Jesus, he removes the shame and the pain of yesterday, and in exchange for brand new identity. How good is it to live a life of freedom? We all want to be free, don't we? When we come to Jesus, that's the first step. It's such a journey, isn't it? to walk in the fullness and the freedom. You okay to come up and in a bit? Of what God has for us. I think, do you know what it is? I think if we've got things in our heart, in our lives, in that intimate place, it's very difficult to do the things that God has called us to do if we're still struggling with different things, isn't it? It's very difficult. It's difficult to share the love of Jesus with people when you're carrying stuff in your heart that shouldn't be there. It's difficult to hear his voice, to see him, to know him like he really is. And Holy Spirit is great, because he comes by his Spirit so gently, and he says and points his finger, he says, actually, see that thing there in your heart? I want you to be set free of that thing. I want to remove that thing in your heart that is taking my place, because that's how much I love you. A life of purpose, a life of true identity, knowing who you are in God. And it's not only for our own selves, it's for the world inside these buildings. There's lost souls up there that need Jesus. And my goodness, the world needs Jesus now. So we have no time to be distracted. We have no time to be spiritually deaf and spiritually adulterous. We have no time. Because there's a work to be done out there. Lives to be touched. And saved. So as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm just going to ask the Spirit of God to come. He's already here anyway. And speak to us individually. We're just going to have a time of reflection. A couple of minutes of reflection. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer, where we can set you free in the name of Jesus from all these things that prevent you from entering into the fullness of what he has for your life.